Smack Daddy Dow Constantine wants to be governor. And right now, Smack Daddy Dow Constantine is losing big time to Mr. Lawsuit, Mr. I'll Sue You, Mr. AG Sideshow Bob. Lit up a loose lawsuit last week. Sideshow Bob using the Office of Attorney General to raise money. Cha-ching, baby. Sideshow Bob getting on the TV because he hates Trump sufficiently. And Smack Daddy Dow Constantine. He says, what do I have to do to get some notice? So he is going now apparently back to the Mariners. And he's saying, you know that $180 million that we promised you that we would use to fix up Safeco Field? Well, I want to claw that back. And I want to use it. I want to use it for affordable housing. Right now, out there, y'all should be laughing. Because it's $1 billion. I checked it again today because James Woods was tweeting about Seattle. I wanted James to have this. The Puget Sound Business Journal did a full accounting of 1 year spending on homelessness in our area. It was $1 billion all in. That is first responders' time. It is the theft of utilities. It is the hygiene, the cleanup, the courts, the hospitals, the mental facilities, drug rehab, etc. ad nauseum. $1 billion in King County. So now Smack Daddy Dow Constantine, according to the Seattle Mariners, or according to the Seattle Weekly, wants to claw this money back. I don't care. I don't think the Mariners should get any public money, but they're renting the facility. That's not their facility. And guess what? When you rent someone's building, you get to pressure them to do upkeep. Hey, you know what? We're doing it here. The building the radio station rents here, the ownership, you know, they're going around and doing fix-up stuff. Because Bonneville, the parent company, they've been really great clients. So the people who take care of the building, they're going around doing really great cleanup. Smack Daddy Dow Constantine is doing this to position, to get his name in the press. Congratulations, Smack Daddy Dow. You got your name in the press. It's not like I ever, you know, play this.
Since 2002, we've reduced the average daily population of young people in the juvenile system at the Youth Services Center from 212 to fewer than 50.
Speaking of which, in Tacoma, five people have now been arrested after two men were found shot to death in Tacoma.
Several people called 911 to report gunfire at East 44th and Portland Avenue East around 8 o'clock last night. Officers found one man shot. He died at the scene. A second man showed up at the hospital. He died from his injuries. Police say both men are in their early to mid-20s. A man, woman, and three kids are in jail on murder charges.
Now, what was it again, Smack Daddy Dow, you wanted to be in the media for? Oh, yeah, that's right. Clawing that money back from the Mariners?
Since 2002, we've reduced the average daily population of young people in the juvenile system at the Youth Services Center from 212 to fewer than 50.
Yeah, but the Mariners, you're clawing that money back, ain't you, Smack Daddy Dow? Isn't that what you want to be known for? Well, Dow, this past weekend, we lost a real angel of a man, part angel, part warrior, Diego Moreno. My wife reminded me this morning that that man worked with our daughter. I was chilled. We used to take our daughter to a little gym where Officer Moreno worked with kids. That man's hands have touched my daughter to help her do a handstand or jump on a trampoline when she was a little kid. My wife was there more than I was and has great memories of him. And that man lost his life because three likely gang-connected young men were shooting at one another. But Smack Daddy Dow Constantine, he doesn't want to talk about that. He doesn't want to talk about his diversion programs for hardened gangsters. Diversion's great. First time, second time you commit a crime, let's get you into diversion program. Third crime, if it's minor, let's get you into diversion program. Let's get you away from the gang life. You're a hardened gangster. You're out shooting people. Smack Daddy Dow Constantine, he's taking a pledge. No kids in jail at any time. But he wants to be talking about clawing that money back from the Mariners, don't you, Smack Daddy Dow?
Since 2002, we've reduced the average daily population of young people in the juvenile system at the Youth Services Center from 212 to fewer than 50.
And what do you think the criminal records are of the young men who were shooting at someone else in Kent and went on to kill Officer Diego Moreno? Think they were first-timers? I don't. The Hood Canal shooter, this guy, he was new to our area, but man, did he pick a good place to come. The police are saying this guy, they're indicating, they believe he might be serial killer. Well, at least that this wasn't the first time. He was wanted for murder. This is the guy who, when the Hood Canal Bridge was closed, just, I don't want to say blew up because he seems like a sicko to begin with. Shot at the car in front of him, shot at the car behind him, narrowly missed a dad and his two girls in the car behind him. And detectives say now he's also wanted for a really, really gruesome murder.
Tuesday afternoon, detectives say a worker at this Renton Econo Lodge motel opened up a door and discovered a woman who'd been stabbed to death. Renton police would only identify her as 38 years old from Bellevue, and they say the murderer intentionally mutilated her body after she died.
Now, he picked a heck of a place to come, didn't he? He picked a place where he could have go lived in a homeless camp and not been discovered. He picked a place where we've got people like Smack Daddy Dow talking about not putting kids in jail for any reason, but we've got a guy named Heroin Dan Satterberg.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
So he came to our area. Do I know he came there because of those two guys? No. What I said is he picked a good place to come if he wanted to be a murderer, right? Because you can get away with it easier here. Oh, yeah, that community activist. He was murdered a couple months ago. No sign of any tracking down of any suspects in that. Yep, that's our area. In Northgate, the Sound Transit people at the criminal conspiracy, the criminal syndicate named Sound Transit, they want you to believe that they're 5 months ahead of schedule on the East Link Light Rail. Como's Mark Makovich and Chad Frederick, the principal construction manager with the criminal syndicate known as Sound Transit.
The top is just 12 to 34 feet from the surface.
The tunnel actually starts out lower and comes up in elevation before it holes through at City Hall.
And that's the milestone being celebrated, what tunnelers call a hole through, seeing the light of day at the other end.
Yeah, but it's not on time. Sound Transit is now and always will be 10 years behind schedule. They changed the dates. Oh, no, now we're in a different phase. No, it doesn't work that way. You don't get to do that. You're 10 years behind schedule on everything you're doing. And you'll always remain 10 years behind schedule. And on budget, no. You're not anywhere near on budget. You've lied about the reason. Real estate's expensive. Oh, we didn't know that in our area? You're surprised to know real estate's expensive. Lots of things are expensive in our area. It's now going to be the Kent school teachers. It's their turn to strike. You get how this game works? You know why they don't want to have one negotiation for all the districts? You know why they don't want to have a formula for all the districts so they can play this game? One year, it's the Tri-Cities striking. This year is maybe Kent striking. This from Q13.
They say a 3.1% raise is simply not the way to go to retain good teachers and also to recruit good teachers.
So they want a share of the McCleary monies. They want to have a share in that. Hey, you know what? If you're a great teacher, let's pay you. Let's give you a share. How about, though, if you are a guy like Albert Vera Smith? How do I say this? Virik Smith? We told you about this guy last week. He's a former special education assistant in Seattle Public Schools, mainly at John Muir Public School. He was known. The school officials knew he came to school drunk more than once. They knew he missed work because he was lying, saying he'd been arrested, was allowed to stay at the school. They know that sometimes he decided, this is a grown man, to stay in the back of rooms or I think in closets and color, like in coloring books, rather than doing his job. They knew all these things. He was given the bottom ranking anybody can get in the school district. They wanted to fire him, but the unions said no. The union said, nope, send them to rehab. Oh, he finally got fired. Well, why? Oh. Yeah, a 9-year-old boy said that this guy raped him. Lots of things are expensive. What's the focus of the state director of the government schools?
You will have domestic violence, homicides in schools because there's guns there.
Right, because someone with a concealed carry might be a teacher. That's their focus. Like I said, lots of things are costly in our area. Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Love with my whole heart and a full soul what the president said today about tariffs. I love his tweet. I love this position. If he is, in fact, leveraging to try to get us to this place, call me impressed. We'll get into those details as we continue, plus a complete lack of accountability in D.C. You knew that. Wonder how bad it is? You know USAspending.gov? You know that site? Yeah, guess what percentage of the information on it is correct? You know what my favorite version of the president is, President Trump, is CEO. I love days like today. Because I don't buy that tariffs work. I don't like tariffs. I actually believe, and fully, the president's explanation for this. That the president's estimation of this, and he's right, there are countries that have, you know, huge tariffs placed on us. The media will not discuss it, and it's fake news to not discuss it. There's massive tariffs on all sorts of our products, but there's heart attacks when the president lays out tariffs here. Look, I don't like tariffs. It's picking winners and losers. It's big government. And if they're done, that should be done through Congress if they're done at all. But man, I love CEO Trump. When he gets down to being the business guy, I could listen all day. And this tweet he put out, and I think this came through in the EU discussions, because the EU has agreed to ease some tariffs on some specific areas and some big areas for our country. And the president has said, okay, we can ease some tariffs. When you're sitting at a poker game and you've got the big stack, and we've got the big stack of chips, the United States of America still has the biggest stack. It's okay for us to push all in and watch what other people do. And that's what the president may be doing here. And to have some tariffs collapse is beautiful. But the president has said now twice, he said it in person when he was in Europe. Hey, I have an idea, he said. How about if we have no tariffs and no subsidies? How about if we just make them all go away? He said, I'd prefer that. I prefer that we just compete. Nothing could be better. I want you to imagine what would happen if there were no subsidies and no tariffs. First of all, for the country, forget politics. If there were no subsidies, and I want to draw a delineation here so we all understand, allowing a company to keep more of its money with lower tax rates, that's not a subsidy. That's lowering tax rates. A subsidy is like what Sleepy Jay Inslee wanted to do with his carbon tax. Sleepy Jay Inslee wanted to take those monies and give them to manufacturers of electric cars. Write them a check, not a tax decrease. Send them hard money, like Barack Obama did when he decided to purchase GM for the unions. That's what he did. He decided to purchase it for the UAW and then destroy it. Far different from a tax cut. Imagine, though, the scenario where the subsidies are gone. Government cannot subsidize. Instantly, you have better companies. Overnight. Instantly, you have more focused companies. Overnight. Boeing, for instance, would suddenly be a far more focused organization. If they're not getting any subsidies, and I count among that their stupid bank that we finance their deals for, Boeing has no reason to demand that we finance their deals other than that they can do it. Something they can get away with. Now imagine the explosion in innovation that would have to occur. Because suddenly Airbus would suddenly have to really compete with Boeing. Can Airbus do that? Now look, maybe I'm a partisan. Maybe because I grew up in Western Washington and I've watched the airplanes go by forever. And I actually grew up as a kid in Eastern Washington and I knew what we were building over there at Kaiser. I knew what the smelter was doing and I heard about the plane, you know, the fuselages for the planes. And from time to time, I'd even see them over there. And it was a thrill. Oh my gosh, an airplane. Maybe I'm a partisan. I don't think Airbus can compete with Boeing. I don't think they can compete with the software people at Boeing. The inventiveness there. Right now, Airbus doesn't need to. And our auto markets, right? Side-by-side comparison, absolutely no subsidies. Think of how more quickly we get to things like flying cars. Someone just sent me a video of a new flying car, by the way. It's the coolest flying car I've ever seen. It's like a hovercraft. It's incredible. Imagine how more quickly we get those things done with no tariffs and no subsidies. So when CEO Trump begins to speak and I see movement like that, I'm thrilled. Yeah, I'm going to keep ratcheting up the tariffs, Trump says, and maybe he's bluffing. Maybe he doesn't think tariffs are great. He said in a tweet, oh, they're the greatest things in the world. Maybe he's bluffing. It's worked before. It worked with NATO. People are paying more of their money. Right? The countries are stepping up because the president was done with it. I would like to see more CEO Trump. Let me give you another example. There is a program called USAspending.gov, Elizabeth Harrington at Harrington at the Free Beacon. Read through an analysis of this that was created by Rob Portman and Tom Carper. Tom Carper is a Democrat from Delaware. They analyzed this website, USAspending.gov, because it's there because of a law. The Digital Accountability and Transparency Act of 2014 requires that government spending be made transparent to the taxpayer. 96% of its data is inaccurate. 96%. And I don't mean a little bit inaccurate. As the report shows, USAspending.gov had inaccuracies in the SNAP program or the food stamp program. The Department of Housing and Urban Development failed to report $17.9 billion and $37.8 billion of the U.S. Department of Agriculture spending data was inaccurate, an error rate of 97.1% for food stamps. This included an inaccuracy in the food stamp program, which spent $68 billion last year. Do you want to know how much USAspending.gov published? Less than 1% of the program's spending. It was 99% wrong. CEO Trump. Man, I would love to see him go at this. I would love to see him fire people responsible for this. You want to see a red wave? Now that the president's worked through some of the regulations to make it easier to fire some civil servants, do it. Explain why to the American people. The data was 99% wrong or 96% wrong? I fired 96% of the people. Maybe the next people will get it right. Can you imagine the applause in the country? Wow. A bureaucrat got fired. I'm telling you, that could be some exciting times. We'll continue on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Voters continue to show that they do not care about what the Democratic Party cares for. They don't care about it at all. And the Democrats continue to say, but you have to care. They continue to become more shrill. It's actually becoming a little bit entertaining, and I'm not a popcorn and politics guy. Can you imagine the rage of a Bernie Sanders and others as they continue to yell at the top of their lungs and they cannot get the American people to care about what they care about? Can you imagine Bernie with all the passion, all of the madness in his voice? This president would rather take children and strip them from the arms of their parents then kill them in the womb. No, sorry. Take two. Right, ready? Take two. This president would rather take these children at the border from their parents because they're brown people, poor brown people coming into our country. This is the, but rather than, can I say anything about the womb? No? Well, how am I supposed to talk about kids without talking about a woman's right to kill children? I will try to restrain myself. Can you imagine their frustration as they can't get the American people to care about what they want them to care about? There is yet more data that the American people simply are not going to respond to the Helsinki thing. They're simply not going to respond to the idea that the president committed treason. Judicial Watch has a survey out. And it's very, very relevant. And Powerline blog, John Hinderacher, pointed me to this. The survey shows that what continues to dominate the mind of Americans in comparison to Helsinki and Trump is a committed treason is, in fact, immigration. Continues to be a far greater concern for that. Secondly, most people in this survey from Judicial Watch believe the president is deeply committed to an American first agenda. Even people on the independent side who don't particularly like the president judge him to be deeply committed to America. So this charge of treason is not hitting. It's not landing. Nor is the charge of cruelty to children on the border landing. The same data shows that the president's position on the border is, if you don't want your kids taken away, don't come in the country illegally. If you want amnesty, come to one of the border check stops, go to one of our consulates, go to one of our diplomatic facilities and apply. That's how to do it. Don't sneak in. The American people, largely even independents, back that. And the media and the press and the Bernie Sanders and the Lizzie Warrens continue to scream louder and louder, and they can't animate anybody on this. So when the president goes out and he gives speeches, and he goes and he says things like this, understand this is landing, and it's landing with more people than the Democrats can even comprehend.
To be a strong nation, we have to have these strong borders. We cannot send our military to confront threats abroad only to allow those same threats to cross our borders and to threaten us right here at home.
So when the president speaks these words and it drives the left crazy, understand the box that they're putting themselves in with the American people. A strong preponderance of the American people say, yes, of course we need a border. Why? Because unless you are hypnotized by the left, you know you have walls in your home. And I know that's a banal point. I know it's a cliched point. But you know you have walls in your home. You know Hollywood has walls in their homes. You know buildings have walls and doors and security checkpoints. And everybody who's not hypnotized by the open borders appeal, which is about winning elections, flooding the country to win elections eventually, they get that. And imagine the frustration of the left as they're confronted with the fact that no matter how loud they screamed about the kids at the border, and yeah, it was heartbreaking. And we know that. And the American people can separate that. Yep, that's heartbreaking. We didn't do it. Yep, that's hard to watch. We didn't do it. It wasn't our fault. Yep, they brought him here. So the president can say things like this because of his skill at moving the Democrats down a chessboard. I've said from the beginning of time that the president is the most gifted I've ever seen at playing the media. He's done something so phenomenal in a common sense country. He has made the Democrats the party that hates one federal law enforcement agency.
Thank goodness for ICE, because we have some of the worst drug dealers, terrorists, criminals, and MS-13 gang members. And we're either throwing them the hell in jail or throwing them out of our country, and ICE goes up there and they walk in like it's another day in the office.
And as we go towards an election, the fact is you can go through a huge week of arrests of people previously deported. You can go through in Los Angeles County. You can go through the rest of a guy named Alejandro Alvarez Villegas. He'd been deported back to his land of Mexico 11 times. Oh, this time? Yeah, he tried to kill his wife with a chainsaw in front of the kids. You can go to San Francisco, an illegal immigrant from Peru, a guy named Orlando Vichez Lazo, committed rape, according to police. It's just a rideshare company Lyft. Somehow he got past a background check. Now he's going to be facing life in prison after having been deported. Came back to commit these acts. There are a number of cases, and they're not small cases, of people being arrested in sex trafficking, child trafficking, and drug trafficking in our area, or in the country. All of them illegal immigrants. The American people understand that the far left is now so committed to being anti-Trump that Trump could come out and say, oh, you know, ice cream is great. Bernie Sanders, you know what? Ice cream, that's a tool of the rich. Have you noticed that ice cream as a base is white? It comes from milk and sugar. That's a racist. Can I say fruit? Oh, no. Restart the teleprompter. Remind me that ice cream is not a fruit. Must be very frustrating. Todd Armand Show will continue with your emails, longer form communication with the show. And here we are again, my favorite part of the program, where we get to your emails, social media posts, the longer notes that you send the show. I relinquish my brain. I simply become a reading monkey and read your words, which are always great words. You can email us, therman@ktth.com, or go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Todd Herman Show. Your text messages, that's 800-465-8770. We sprinkle those in throughout the show, as well as the tweets, @ToddEHerman. Talked yesterday about my desire to see Jimmy Clapper and Brennan and such. I want to see them stripped of their classified access to classified documents or their security clearances. Not because they're critics of the government. That's fine. I'm a critic of the government, too. But because we know that they have used that status to coordinate with the media, to collude with the media, to get the fact that the president was briefed about the dossier into the news cycle. They're using and abusing their access to that information. And frankly, they shouldn't be having access to that information. A whole bunch of my listeners, from people who are federal prosecutors to people who are defending people against federal records charges, to folks who are cops and retired military, all came with the same fact. And largely the same opinion. Case in point, James from Clinton. Todd. I had a top secret clearance, but I did not naturally have access to everything because I did not have a need to know. Need to know access is a crucial feature that makes the whole system work. I'm retired. I no longer have a need to know. My top security clearance was removed for administrative purposes. Need to know. Military members and politicians who move between jobs and no longer have a need based upon the job requirement of the position are downgraded. I love the show. Thanks. James, I appreciate the note. A lot of people say this to me. I had a gentleman who has defended people against cases where they've been charged with having unauthorized access to federal secrets. Very same opinion. Guy works in federal law enforcement in the prosecutorial area down in Texas, wrote me a note saying same exact thing. So, yeah, they have no need to know. And again, the president announces he's trolling in a way. And once again, the media has gone and done exactly what the president wants them to do. The president wanted them to go overboard and to once again just show there's no balance. And so mission accomplished, Mr. President. You did that with the media once again. Back to emails from Mount Vernon. Way back in Mount Vernon. Do you mean the Mount Vernon? All right, I got to clarify this. Tim. Hey, Todd, I discovered your program when you filled in for Rush Limbaugh a few months ago. I've been listening through the podcast ever since. My youngest son has moved out to the Seattle area. And it was interesting. Before he moved, I had him listen to the podcast of you on Rush and then some of your local shows to prepare him for what he would encounter in Seattle. He's gone there to work for Google, by the way. Upon getting to Seattle, my son instantly became
more conservative. See, when he listened to your podcast and listened to you on Rush, he thought that you were more of an entertainer because you are sort of funny and or a little over the top sometimes. But now living in Seattle as he does, he sees you as some sort of mystic truth teller who's saying things about the city that other people will not. He's astonished that his colleagues at Google accept seeing street people passed out on the street, defecating on street corners and needles strewn about as somehow normal. It has made him jump from our area back east, which is relatively sedate in comparison to your own, straight into the cesspool of socialism. So I cannot be more thankful that I had you as a resource to present to my son and the opportunity for him to see that, nope, it's not conservatives who are making it up. It's, in fact, the socialists who are making it sound like it would have to be made up in order for it to be real. God bless you and continue doing the radio show. Hopefully one day you'll go national. Tim, thanks for the note. I appreciate that. I don't know that I ever want to have a national show. I really don't. I would rather help my local community. But man, that's a cool story. And I'm glad your son has figured that out or just had it thrust into his face that he moved back here. Also an email from Courtney. Dear Mr. Herman, I work as an educator. Please don't name the city I work in. The students at my school have begun to notice that heroin and meth and other drugs are not considered all that dangerous by our city leaders. We had a camp this summer, a camp to help kids who are sort of on the margins, maybe not on their way to success in school. The goal of the camp is to try to get them back on the right rails. Generally, this camp is very helpful for a handful of students each of us teachers takes on. This year, I had 4 students. We had a conversation one day about drug use and chemical dependency. Of the kids I work with, 50% of them are convinced that heroin cannot be that bad for you. Otherwise, it would not be allowed in the city of Seattle. The other 2 kids vehemently disagreed and said that Seattle is just trying to save lives. None of the kids took the point of view that heroin should be restricted. Now, I understand that society ebbs and flows in its opinions, and as a teacher, it's not my job to impart upon them my morality, but it is my job to impart upon them the science. I turn to a resource I have as a teacher and as a former counselor to show them what heroin does to the body and how it breaks down not just your physicality, but your mental abilities by destroying the pleasure centers of the brain. And I'm somewhat embarrassed to admit that with these high school kids, what seemed to have the most impact was when I shared with them the fact that drugs like heroin and meth make it impossible for you to one day, hopefully when you're married, enjoy sexuality. Far too many people fail to understand that heroin dims not only your thinking center, that is, the areas in which you make rational decisions, it also dims and, in fact, can destroy your pleasure center. This is more pronounced with meth, where people who are addicted to meth cannot enjoy sexuality or food or music or anything unless they are simultaneously stoned. It's somewhat more muted in the case of heroin, but it has the same overall effect over time, where the only thing that can bring you pleasure is the drug itself. Nothing else. Not a puppy dog, not a hug, not sexual relationships. None of it can bring pleasure. Only the drug occupies that space. Hopefully this has made an impact on my kids, but I'm terrified as to what the future holds. Yours, Courtney. Hey, Courtney, thank you for listening to the program. And hey, look, this is bound to happen. When the city of Seattle is doing everything it can to mainstream heroin, and that's exactly what they're doing. Why? One can only guess. I mean, there's a number of people in the city, Seattle City Council, who are frankly too stupid to like not drown in the rain. They really are that dumb. There's others of them, like Mike O'Brien. Mike O'Brien is a guy who has never once in his entire life ever wanted for anything. He's never had to work hard for anything. He has been born from the day he was born. He had a couple of gold spoons in his mouth, not necessarily filled with cocaine. I'm not saying that. But he's never had to struggle. There's other people who are flat scam artists on that council. Sally Bagshaw, in my opinion, she's been running a long con. She's not running for re-election, but she's been running a long con. We'll only one day learn the source pushing the heroin into our city, because there is a source. It is far too organized. It is far too unanimous on this council and on the King County Council to be any mistake that these people have made psychologically. There's got to be some money running this train. All right, Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. When we come back on the Todd Herman Show, believe it or not, I'm not even close to done with Seattle Spirit. That next.